Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 29th of September 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our soulful and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we never let go of your beautiful hand, so that holding on to your beautiful hand, we are filled with beautiful thoughts, and these beautiful thoughts translate into beautiful vision, beautiful hearing, beautiful speech, and beautiful acts through our limbs. Fill us with the bliss and beauty that is you. With this prayer, let's begin this new episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And what we are going to learn today is a vibrant bhajan. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now in the next 40-45 minutes. As always, we'll begin with familiarizing ourselves with the lyrics of the bhajan and then move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan. And then we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso, former student of Bhagwan's university, who had the chance to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for nearly 2 decades. He shares his insights on this bhajan. So all this coming up in this new episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Let's get started with the lyrics.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana Narayana Hari Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana Hari Om Ananda Narayana Triloka Palana Narayana Parthi Nivasa Narayana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on and learn how to sing this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Triloka Palana Narayana.
Triloka పాలన నారాయణ
త్రిలోక పాలన నారాయణ
త్రిలోక పాలన నారాయణ
పర్తినివాస నారాయణ
పర్తినివాస నారాయణ
పుట్ట పర్తినివాస నారాయణ
పర్తినివాస నారాయణ
హరి ఓం ఆనంద నారాయణ
సో బ్రదర్ రవి కుమార్ అండ్ అనిరుద్ధ్ gave us a lovely demonstration of how this bhajan flows. And now, for those of us who want to learn more about this bhajan and this composition, let us hear Anirudh explaining to us a little more about the technicalities of this bhajan. So Anirudh, tell us, what are your thoughts on the raga of this bhajan?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
This simple namavali is based on raga called Janasamohini. And it's a beautiful, pleasant raga. First let me tell you about the raga.
Sa re
shudri
ga pa
shudga
sa re ga pa da
shuddha
dhani
komal ni
sa sa ni da pa ga ga pa da pa ga re ni sa sa re ga pa da ni da sa sa ni da pa ga pa da pa ga re sa.
It's very close to yet another raga called Kalavati, where you have
sa ga pa da ni sa sa ni da pa ga sa.
In this bhajan you have the notes like re
sa re.
So if you add re to the Kalavati,
sa re ga pa da ni sa ni da pa ga re sa.
Also interestingly, in this bhajan you find ma also coming to picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure when we do the swaras for each line, you will be able to appreciate it more. Like, let's take the first line.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana Nara Gama.
It's a beautiful note.
Gama Dapa.
Slight deviation, but adds a beautiful flavor to the bhajan.
Ga ma re ne da sa.
Of course, you add a small note in the Hindustani classical music is so expansive that you totally go into another family of ragas just by adding a small note. The Indian stream of the classical stream of music is so wide and expansive like an ocean.
Yes.
So I'm sure there must be some other raga also just by adding a ma or a ma coming only in the avarohana, that is when you descend.
Yes.
From higher sa to lower sa, just when you touch the ma and come, it is called some other raga. So
possibly.
Yeah. But based on this bhajan, maybe we can say that it is Janasamohini, and for those of Hindustani classical musicians, it's based on Kalavati with a small deviation.
Okay, so let's get on to the swaras.
Yeah, let's take the first line.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana. Sa sa ga pa ni da pa ga ma da pa.
Sa sa ga pa ni da pa ga ma da pa.
Narayana, Hari Narayana. Ni ni sa sa, sari ni da pa sa.
Ni ni sa sa, sari ni da pa sa.
Narayana, Sai Narayana. Sa ri ga sa ni da da ni da pa ga pa da pa ga ri sa.
Sa ri ga sa ni da da ni da pa ga pa da pa ga ri sa.
We shall go to the next line. Triloka palani.
Triloka palana Narayana. Gagari ri gaga sanida pasari ri ga.
Gagari ri gaga sanida pasari ri ga.
Pratinivasa Narayana. Sa ri ga sa ni da da ni da pa ga pa da pa ga ri sa.
Sa ri ga sa ni da da ni da pa ga pa da pa ga ri sa.
Once you know the raga and the swaras that make the raga and then sing the bhajan with the swaras, whole thing becomes so clear and so beautiful.
Yeah. And all the thing is left is to connect to the bhajan and to Swami, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. But it's so nice once you know also about, you know, what makes the bhajan.
Yeah.
Let's complete this whole process by also discussing the beat of the bhajan.
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. It is a medium bhajan. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Hari Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
That was beautiful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So now we are done with the technicalities of this bhajan. Let's move on and move inward and discuss how we can feel this bhajan and make it an offering of love at his feet. Brother Sonam Gyamso, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai University, who had the chance to be a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group for many, many years, for decades, he shares his reflections on this bhajan. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Vishu, it's a great privilege coming here again.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana. There is a word Ananda already in the first line of the bhajan, and the bhajan itself is so vibrant.
Yeah.
What thoughts fill your mind when you sing this bhajan?
In the first place, I feel that this bhajan itself is set in one of the most Anandadayi melodic in the melodies. And the bhajan itself is so full of joy and bliss. And then very rightly, the bhajan describes your state of that bliss. When I think about Hari Om itself, it takes me back several decades back, in the late 70s, early 80s, you know. I can't really pinpoint the date and time. But I happened to meet a Canadian who met me after the bhajan in the evening. And he told me that the bhajan that you sang today struck a chord in me. I asked somebody who was the singer. Then I just wanted to meet you. Then I told him, thank you so much. And then he said, then I went on to ask him, where he had come from and what had made him come to Puttaparthi. So he said that he had read a book. A friend of his had lent him a book by Howard Moffat, A Man of Miracles, that universal book. And after reading the book, there was a type of, you know, a mad rush in him, a thirst in him to come to Puttaparthi and have Swami's darshan. So that is why he had come here. And no sooner he reached Puttaparthi, he told me, in fact, I still remember the word. He said, when I touched the shores of Puttaparthi, he said, as though he had waded through a vast ocean and ultimately reached the shores, you know. So he told me this. And then when he reached here, bhajan was going on, and most probably it was Raja Reddy Garu who had been singing that bhajan, Narayan Hari Om. And this man didn't understand anything about Sanskrit, the meaning of that bhajan. But the only thing that struck him was, somebody is telling me to Hari Om.
Hari Om?
Yeah.
So Hari Raja Om. Reddy sir was singing Narayana Hari Om.
Yeah.
And he took Hari Om as Hari Om.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So that because he understood it that way, so somebody is telling me that I should hurry home, and maybe this is my home.
Oh,
I have reached home. When,
and he had come hurriedly to Prashant.
Yeah, and he had come.
And this is his home.
Yeah. Wow. There was a mad rush in him, like he was rushing through everything because he wanted to reach here as early as possible. And then that made him stay here, that bhajan, that word, Hari Om. So, very philosophically looking at it, we know so many, the whole etymology of Hari Om, people understand it in so many different ways. But here was a very innocent way of interpreting Hari Om as Hari Om, and actually that is the truth.
That reminds
Om is everyone's home.
Absolutely. That reminds me of that Vedic dictum, I am Atma Brahma.
Yeah.
In Sanskrit you have I am Atma Brahma, but you know, you just... I am Atma and Brahma.
Yeah.
When you put it simplistically for an English person,
yeah,
you know, it just reveals itself like this. And yeah, here Bhagwan so amazingly revealed Hari Om to him as Hari Om.
Yeah.
And it is such a fantastic way to relate to this word,
exactly,
Hari Om.
Exactly. And that is
Om is from where we came.
Yeah. That's your home.
That's our home.
So normally, it's all about our orientation. Prashanti Nilayam is such a wonderful place, such a heaven on earth. Not because, you know, there are fairies and, immortality or things going on here, which are, you know, out of the world. Right inside this world, we have a place, a sanctuary like Prashanti Nilayam, wherein you are given the power to create your own heaven, to imagine your own heaven and live in it. The golden age you have, you can create here and live in that golden age. You know, elsewhere people would ask, when is it going to dawn, the golden age? And here is a place where it dawns when you are able to create it. And this is one place where you get so much empowered. And this type of interpretation, this type of orientation in life, wherein you interpret everything in terms of the spirit, it really happens because of the manner in which Swami always has been teaching us.
Fantastic. In fact, so many thoughts are flood my mind as you narrate this.
Yeah.
When the inauguration of Prashant Nilayam happened,
mm-hmm,
way back in 1950, Swami on the inaugural discourse said, I am naming this place as Prashanti Nilayam.
Yeah.
Prashanti means supreme and Nilayam means abode.
Yeah.
And Swami said, abode. Prashanti is the abode of supreme peace. And then he went on to say, Putta Parthi can be split as Putta and Parthi.
Yeah.
And Swami said, Putta means birth.
Oh.
And Parthi means change or no.
Oh.
And Swami said, Putta Parthi means the place where there is no birth.
So beautiful.
He went on to explain, this is a place which can grant you the peace and purity of a newborn child.
So beautiful.
Anyone who decides to be in Putta Parthi and undertake any sadhana with sincerity, be it japa, dhyana, bhajan, seva, the place will ensure that there is no rebirth for that soul.
No wonder, this is the highest tapovan, the tapabhumi. It's a yog bhumi.
It is that home, it is that om.
Yeah, definitely.
Of spirituality.
It embodies that, yeah.
It embodies that.
Exactly.
And when you're in such a sanctuary, obviously you have to be in bliss. If you're not experiencing bliss, then there is something wrong with you, not with the place.
Exactly, exactly. And do you remember, Vishu, whenever we are in the presence of Bhagwan, the immediate presence of Bhagwan, there is no reason why we are so happy.
Yes.
You know, we are drawing directly from the source. We can't comprehend it at that point of time. But then the fact is that we are happy because we are sitting with the source of all that bliss. And that is what happened, I think, last time we shared this, and since it's relevant, we could again share it. When Swami asked, after bhajan, we were all waiting near in the foreground of the mandir and praying that Swami should come on the balcony. And it was New Year's, it was Christmas Eve. And so many foreigners, so many devotees were all waiting, thronging the premises. And after bhajan, much to our happiness and dismay, Swami appeared on the balcony. And everyone said, Swami, Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. From there, Swami said, are you happy? And then everyone, it was a thunderous roar, everyone said, Swami, we are happy. We are happy, Swami. Then Swami said, I am also happy. And today in retrospect, I have shared this in many places. I feel that this should be shared. You know, Swami at that point of time when he asked us very candidly, are you happy? Everyone spoke the truth at that point of time because no one could be unhappy when you are in the presence of the Master, of the Lord. Everyone was happy. We had forgotten all our woes, all our worries, everything. No more differences. It was a totally unifying moment. And then at that moment when Swami asked, are you happy? Everyone spoke the truth. I am happy, Swami. And then Swami reflected back. Then I am also happy. So if I am sad, the mother is sad. If I am happy, the mother is happy. Just reflection, resound and reaction. So that joy, that happiness, this is how practically Swami has been teaching us to be happy. Because by default, we are the embodiments of that Atmananda, that happiness.
Absolutely. I mean, by default, we are the embodiments of that bliss. And when you are in the presence of the bliss incarnate, of the purity incarnate, somehow you connect to that deepest core of your being.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think when hundreds connect to that spark, to that presence within, and they do it collectively, and when you express to Bhagavan, we are happy, I think it is coming from the depths of so many souls.
So many souls. Yeah.
And it's coming with so much of sincerity and power and that's why so much of profundity that Bhagwan is so happy.
Exactly.
And I think when I reflect on it now, a bhajan session is something like this, isn't it?
Exactly. When we sit completely calm, composed, with a sense of purpose, that we are here to do a wonderful Samagana Sadhana, then it has to be happiness and nothing else. It's only when we are caught in the, you know, web of technicalities, and even in terms of singing, or technicalities in terms of the system, the microphone, the harmonium, the tabla, then we get completely caught in those webs, you know. Otherwise, just sans all that, why do we sit for bhajan? It's for my emancipation, for my illumination. So it is just me, just one-to-one with Bhagwan. And the best way to connect with him is in terms of music and poetry. And that is what is our legacy from Bhagwan, what we have inherited from Bhagwan.
And because it is a medium to connect to that deepest core of our being,
yeah,
we feel so much at peace. And I feel that ananda comes from that peace.
Surely, definitely. And day after day when you sing bhajans, like I come once in a while here, but then every day you are empowered by Bhagwan to keep the, you know, lamp lit up every day. Every day you are singing bhajan morning and evening. It's almost, you know, infinite. And how does that infinity happen? Unless he has empowered us. Every day you have bhajans to sing. Every day you have so many things to do. And if there are people in this world who say that I don't have time to sing bhajan, Swami says, make bhajan your mainstay of your life. You keep breathing in and breathing out bhajan only. Where did I tell you to sit in a corner and have a special time only to sing bhajans? Let bhajan be the reason for which you live.
If you are in happy, you sing bhajan. If you are in sorrow, you sing bhajan. If you want to complain bhajan to the Lord, you sing bhajan.
Yeah.
If you are in ecstasy, you sing bhajan.
Exactly. We are all the time singing. We can all the time sing bhajan. It relates to every mood.
Yes.
Every tone and tenor of our life. So beautiful.
Amazing.
So this ananda, Hari Om Ananda, when I still, can I share this one more thought that comes to me at this point of time? You know, Swami said, when are you in ananda? And these things would happen only within the beautiful hallowed precincts of the bhajan hall, the mandir. Either before the interview or following the interview, Swami would step into the bhajan hall, sit with the students, spend some time with them, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and that 10 minutes or 5 minutes would be packed with teachings. And in all, you know, in the idiom of practicality, like, you know, it would be so practical, so pragmatic. And then Swami said, you are happy when you are contented, when you are satisfied. And a man who is satisfied is a man who has no more desires. And then Swami said, if you have that contentment in you with whatever God has given you, then you are a happy man. That is why I always bless you, Chala Santosham. Whatever you ask Bhagwan, Swami would just reply, Chala Santosham, Santosham. Swami didn't say Chala Anandam. Because he said that joy is by default, it's innate in you. When you are contented, the joy just, you know, it manifests itself. That's what Swami was telling that day. So Hari Om Ananda Narayana, when I think about Ananda, these thoughts come to me.
Amazing. I think that what the point that you made about the secret to happiness is contentment.
Yeah.
And that is what Swami was blessing us with every time when he was telling Santosham, Chala Santosham.
Yeah.
Whatever happens to you, we know of so many occasions where it could be something positive that has happened in your life and Bhagwan would bless you as Santosham. Sometimes that could be something which is unpleasant, which you apparently consider it is unpleasant at that point in time, and Bhagwan would still say Santosham.
Yeah.
And you are left to wonder, how can he say that be happy or Santosham for a thing like this, which is actually something which depresses me.
Yeah.
But I think that was the lesson that Bhagavan is giving, that you have to accept whatever has happened in your life with a sense of surrender and contentment.
Exactly. I still remember, once an Australian couple who were here, I think they were from Australia someplace. So Swami asked them during darshan, how are you, where are you from, Swami asks these questions preliminary. And then Swami said, very happy, very happy, which is the English way of saying santosham for them, very happy. Then, I think it was the next day or a few days after that, the wife was sitting there distraught because the husband had died.
Oh.
He had a heart stroke. He had a stroke and he had passed away. So she was mentioning Swami very loudly. Swami's my husband, and some name she was mentioning. He is no more. And Swami said, very happy.
Oh my God.
And then, even at that time, what thought came to me was like, that what is expressed in that bhajan, Sai Om, Sai Om.
Yes.
Jagan Swapan Me Sai Om. Gagan Pavan Me Sai Om. For every state of your being, there is only Sai Om.
Yes.
Sai Om is just the common factor everywhere.
Yes.
He is the one who leads us through all these different states of our existence, It's so beautiful. And then, all the time happy, all the time santosham. So I understand that every time he spelled out Chala Santosham, it's a Maha Mantra. He was blessing everyone, consecrating everyone seated there in the grounds, that I am giving you that contentment. I am giving you that happiness. And many times Swami would say, when you have seen me, how could you still be disconcerted and not contented, dissatisfied?
When you already have Swami in your life.
Yeah. When you look at me, it's totality. And in fact, when you look at Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, he was the very epitome of wholeness, totality. Just, on bare feet, walking around, just wearing one robe, and then looking like the very embodiment of completeness. And people like you and me, we wear so many clothes and so many expensive shoes, and then walk around with our watch and everything, and then still we look incomplete. How finite we are and how infinite, Bhagwan. And every time Swami was telling us, you are also infinite like me. And the reason why you have taken birth, the whole life is given to you to realize that infinity.
Amazing.
What encouragement coming from Bhagwan. Every moment empowering us.
We may have 500 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
We might be in the midst of 50 people who are our relatives and our so-called close members of our inner circle. Still, if we are not connected to our inner self, we might feel very incomplete.
Yeah, definitely. Insecure.
But if you are connected to your inner self,
yeah.
Even if there is no friend on your Facebook, if there is no friend anywhere or no family who tells that he's my own or she's my own, you still feel very complete.
Yeah, definitely. And more than anything, almost, 20 years back, Swami was telling, and those were the times when, the present day handsets and mobile phones had not really been invented. Those were the times when the first ever Nokia huge, handsets, which were so heavy and big, large ones. A few people had brought it to Puttaparthi and they were using it. But the Swami was talking about, 20 years hence, like what's going to happen. But then Swami was talking on the veranda. Why is it that with all these gadgets around you in your pocket, you are becoming more and more insular? You are becoming more and more detached from each other. There is no unity. Everybody is engrossed, Swami said, showing his palm on the veranda. Swami was doing this. Mm-hmm. Everybody is engrossed with his phone, Swami said. Nobody has time for each other. And today on Facebook, we are all the time, it's a huge, group to belong to.
Yes.
You have so many friends scattered all around the globe. But then actually you feel you are all the time alone.
Alone. Unless you have learned to connect with your inner self.
Exactly.
And I think bhajans is that medium by which we can connect.
Definitely.
To that infinite source within. And this bhajan in many ways goads us towards that. Ask us to hurry towards that.
Yeah, yeah.
To that inner sanctuary. To
Hari
that
Om
inner,
Narayana.
Yes. To that kingdom of heaven within us.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Maybe you can just sing a few lines.
Yeah, it's a great privilege to sing it. Triloka Palana Narayana Parti Nivasa Narayana Hari Om Ananda Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana Hari Om Ananda Narayana Triloka Palana Narayana Parti Nivasa Narayana Hari Om Ananda Narayana.
Amazing. Beautiful.
Amazing bhajan.
Amazing bhajan. We'll just end with one last thought that came to me as you sang this line, Triloka Palana Narayana.
Yeah.
And I felt that Triloka, there's three lokas that perhaps our body, mind and the soul, you know, he's the one who governs every aspect of
beautiful,
our personality.
Beautiful Vishu. Yes.
And once you know that he's the master of every plane of existence within us, then you will know that he is the same one who is in Puttaparthi and your body is that Puttaparthi.
Yeah, yeah. Such a beautiful
imagery.
He is
the master of your inner self.
The body is the Puttaparthi. Yes.
Yes. And he is that master of that inner self. That sannidhi is within.
Yeah.
And I think once we connect to that sannidhi, then obviously we will only be in Ananda.
One more small thought I want to just share with you. Just the other day, yesterday during bhajan, I came prepared to sing, Tere Siva Prabhu Koi Nahi Hai, Tujhko Mera Pranam. And I told our junior brother, who plays harmonium, I told him that I'm going to sing this bhajan. And hurriedly, because bhajan was about to start, about to begin, and he looked at me and said, Swami has made a comment on this bhajan. Then I understood that it's better I don't sing this bhajan till things get clarified, more clarified. So I asked him today, and it seems Swami had said, you know that word, Dwar khada hoon, main dukhi aara, or Dwar khade hai hum dukhi aare, or Dwar khadi hoon, main dukhi aari, whatever, you know. So there was also a lot of gender questions on this once upon a time. All the ladies would sing, main khadi hoon, main dukhi aari. Gents would say, khada hoon, main dukhi aara. Then I made it very general and said, Dwar khade hai hum dukhi aare.
We are the people standing at the door of your abode.
Yeah.
And we are the desolate and depressed.
Depressed people.
Ones.
And Swami, it seems, made this comment. Swami said very sharply, why depressed?
Why depressed? He doesn't even like that.
Yeah,
word.
He doesn't even like that. Why should you be depressed? Why should you be in misery?
Yes.
Why should you be miserable?
Yes.
And our boys are so quick in catching this, you know. So sensitive to every word, every gesture of Bhagwan, everything that Swami says, they stop singing this bhajan. Mostly it just, you know, slowed down slowly. It slowed down the singing of this bhajan, the rendition of this bhajan in the mandir.
Yes.
So that sensitivity is something that we should all understand.
Yes.
You know, Swami said, why should you be miserable?
Yes, Swami is very uncomfortable with the thought that we are miserable.
Exactly.
He does not want us to even give an millimeter of space for us to think that we are in a state that is not in Ananda.
And one more thing about that, you know, this Narayan also evokes these thoughts in you, that every time, so many times Swami said, Nara and Nayan is Narayana.
Yes.
So the tears that flow from your eyes, flow down your eyes, should be tears of devotion. Not tears of, you know, momentary emotion.
Yes.
And Swami would always sing, Chalo re mana Ganga Jamuna tir.
Yes.
The Ganga and Jamuna are two eyes which look outward. But then this inner eye, the third eye opens, which is the Saraswati. And that looks within.
Yes.
So that is the, you know, that eye that shows you the pathway to joy and happiness. It's so beautiful.
Narayan is that ocean of ecstasy.
Ocean of ecstasy.
The Lord resides in that ocean of ecstasy and devotion that arise from our eyes.
Yeah.
And our being. Fantastic.
So beautiful.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
That was Brother Sonam Gyamso, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Someone who is very passionate about bhajans and who has been very actively involved in the dissemination of the bhajan movement. And with that, we come now to the last part of this program. Let's listen to the bhajan as it is sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
Manand Narayana
us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at his lotus feet.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 29th of September 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.